says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And that's especially fitting, it being Memorial Day, or the week before Memorial Day. And we think about our country, we think about those that have given the ultimate sacrifice to give their lives that we might live free. And so we appreciate that very, very much. And I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. This is brought to you by the church. And so we appreciate the church and what they do. We always take a few moments to invite you to come out if you are in the listening area and looking for a church home. We're located just outside of Boone, Highway 105 South. You take Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So we got a lot of things going on coming up. We got Vacation Bible School. That's always a big week. And we'll let you know more about that as we get just a little bit closer. Well, we're pretty close, to, as I think about it. But we're on at a new time today, and so we may have some new listeners. We want to welcome you, and we hope you'll tune in. We hope we hope we don't lose any of our old listeners. We were on at 11:30, but there's been changes going on, and so we got a new time. Still Tuesdays. But we come on every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We'd love for you to help us spread the word. I put it on Facebook and a few things like that. We had a spot also. We've been running on the radio. Noah's here today. He's my right-hand man on the radio. And you made it. You wrote it down, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. I did. Just to make sure I remembered.
Not everybody will get that, but some might.
Some may.
Yeah.
And I am glad to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM, and out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on FM 89.1 KPGT, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we have been doing a series called Heroes of Prayer, and we've been doing that since January the 12th, and we could go till next January and never run out of examples or illustrations. I have really enjoyed looking at this, but we're getting ready to wind this up probably today and next week. Next week will probably be the last one in this series that we've been doing. I really like to do series of subjects and things, and I don't know exactly what we'll be getting into next, but we're thinking about winding this up. But today's broadcast really needs to be called Heroines of Prayer, because we're going to talk about the ladies. We're going to talk about heroes of prayer that are ladies, and it wouldn't even be right to mention to have all these radio broadcasts and talk about different heroes of prayer. And we've talked about exclusively so far, we've talked about men. But probably we could fill a book and at least this much time talking about different women that have been heroines of prayer, the ladies, especially the mothers. Now, this is something that I had in my mind that I wanted to do. I wish I would have worked it out to be closer to Mother's Day, but I noticed this in our church hymnal. Now, at our church, we sing out of the red hymnal called the church hymnal, and it has a topical index in it, and mother has its own category. No category for father, but I mean, if you're looking in the back of the songbook, maybe you're the choir director, and you say, well, leading singing, I need some songs for this Sunday. Well, you can look in the index. There's a section for Christmas, Easter, funeral, invitation, judgment, missionary, mother, prayer, testimony. You know, it goes on down like that. There's no section for father, but there is a index. You know, there's several songs that have to do with mother, and so maybe on Mother's Day. I'm not sure how you could measure this, but I believe it would be true that if you could somehow find a percentage of men that pray and women that pray, I believe that the percentage of women would be higher than the percentage of men. Now, like I said, I don't know how you would prove that. I don't know, how you would find that out, but just in pastoring over the years, I believe that you would find that to be true, that there's more praying women than praying men. And I got to looking at some of those songs in the songbook. I thought this would be a good way to sort of start the radio broadcast today. Most of those songs talked about mothers praying, moms that prayed. And I just want to give you some examples of that. Now, some of these songs I'm familiar with, some of them I honestly have never heard before, but you can rest assured that the songwriter, it really meant something to them. And there's a song in the songbook called "Will My Mother Know Me There," talking about going to heaven. And the third verse of that song says this: "Oft for me my mother wrestled when she used to kneel in prayer." And then there's another song, "Tell Mother I'll Be There." And it says in part in that song, it says, "When I became a prodigal and left the old roof tree." And I guess that's talking about home. And I've never heard it referred to as that. But he said, "When I became a prodigal and left the old roof tree, she almost broke her loving heart in mourning after me. And day and night she prayed to God to keep me in his care." And so there's a songwriter talking about how mother prayed for them when they became a prodigal and went away from the Lord. And I've said many times, in fact, the Mother's Day message that I preached this year, I talked about in that message, you know, that mother is a type of the Lord, or a type of God's love. And mother will stick with you when all the world has written you off. You know, when everybody else says, well, they're too far gone, there's nothing to them, they'll never amount to anything, they'll never come back, they'll never do this, they'll never do that. Well, society may give up, and friends and family may give up on you. Even dad may give up on you, but mom never will. Mom will be the last, and mom will hang in there when nobody else does. And so, faithful mom. Lots of songs about that. There's another song in the songbook. It said, "Take this message to mother," and it talked about prayer. It said, "Take this message to my mother. It will fill her heart with joy. Tell her that her prayers are answered. God has saved her wandering boy." And it said in another verse, "In the field of sin are many who have wandered far from God. Will your mother's prayer be answered?" And it goes on, talks about that. And then there's another song that says, "If I could hear my mother pray again." And the songwriter talks, the whole song is about remembering mom praying, and wishes that he could hear her pray again. She had gone on to heaven to be with the Lord. And he said, "Oh, how I wish I could hear my mother pray again." I've pastored now for over 25 years. And I can say this from personal experience. And I have observed this in church and in life, that there's nothing more powerful, there's nothing that moves your heart more and touches you than hearing a dear lady, a mother, mom, it doesn't have to be a mother, but hearing a lady pray. And really, I mean really pray, like somebody that would come to the altar and just weep before the Lord. And I've seen that, I've experienced that, I've seen that in church, I've heard that. And I'll tell you, that will touch your heart. If nothing else will move your heart, if nothing else will soften you, then a mom praying, a lady praying and really crying and weeping before the Lord, I mean, there's power behind that. And I can't even explain all about that, but I know, and I've heard that, and there's something special about ladies that pray. And there's a reason why there's so many songs about mothers' prayers. We're talking about heroines of prayer. And first of all, we could say moms are they're at the top of the list when it comes to being heroes of prayer. I was reading a very interesting story along these lines, and I wanted to share some of it with you today. I know many of you may be familiar with evangelist D.L. Moody, Dwight Lyman Moody. He preached in the late 1800s, and they said about the ministry of D.L. Moody that that a million people came to know the Lord through his ministry. And D.L. Moody, there was a lot of things we could talk about D.L. Moody. Maybe you've heard of Moody Bible Institute up in Chicago, Illinois, I believe it is. And so very famous. And he had great success in mass evangelism. Well, he was, according to his own estimation, he was a nobody. He was a shoe salesman, and somebody won him to the Lord. And in his ministry, he started preaching, and he was a pretty good preacher. You know, he was getting opportunities and things like that. But there was some ladies came to him in one of his meetings. Some ladies, now I'm talking about heroines of prayer. And there were some ladies came to him in one of his meetings, and they said, "Mr. Moody," they said, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the touch of God upon your life, and you need to be filled with God's Spirit." And Mr. Moody, he didn't know how to take that. You know, he thought, "Well, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about." But those two ladies made such an impact upon his ministry. They said, "We're going to pray for you that you would become filled with the Spirit of God." And those two ladies had a great impact upon D.L. Moody and his ministry. And from that time forward, he began to think he couldn't get that off his mind, how that he needed to be filled with the Spirit of God and have the power of God upon his ministry. Not just be a good preacher, but have God's power. And something changed in his life. He had an experience where he felt that definitely the Spirit of God filled him, and he was mightily used of the Lord. Now, D.L. Moody had a very limited education, and early on in his ministry, he sort of avoided college students. He didn't think that he had anything to offer college students. He was sort of intimidated to be around them. You know, he didn't go through college. He had a very limited education, and he felt like, and sometimes he was even ridiculed that his English was not exactly as it should be. But he had been asked to come to England to preach a revival at Cambridge. And at first he was reluctant to do that, but they kept asking and asking. So he made the trip. Now, you got to realize in the 1800s, you know, you didn't just go down to Charlotte and jump on a plane and land in Heathrow, England, London, like I did one time. You know, you had to take a ship over there. It was a huge undertaking to go to another country. But D.L. Moody, he went to England, and he preached a revival at Cambridge University. This took place in 1882, and I'm relaying this, or I found this on a website called the CollegianteDayOfPrayer.org, and so I'm just relating some of the events that happened on that day. But at first, he went to Cambridge University. At first, the meeting didn't go very well, and the college students were rowdy. There was 1,700 of them came that first day. They had like an assembly where everybody had to come out. And so there's 1,700 Cambridge University students there, and they were rowdy. They were disorderly. And Ira Sankey came, and he led the music. And after the first song, they mockingly called for an encore. And while Mr. Moody was trying to preach, people were outside, college students, and they would throw firecrackers up against the windows. And people were asking him questions during that. I mean, it was just a mess. Nothing like a revival or a church service ought to be. And in that day, it was in style, I guess you might say, to carry a walking stick or an umbrella. And so they would tap their umbrellas on the floor, and they were just being very disruptive, very rude, inconsiderate. All of these things were going on. That was the first day. The second day, not as many came. A couple of days later, only about 100 college students had come back to the meeting. And they said that 70 of those were in the choir. And so you talk about a disappointing time. Well, Mr. Moody, what he did about that, he didn't get discouraged. He didn't give up. What he did, he recruited some help. And what Mr. Moody did, he went into the city of Cambridge through the area churches there, and he asked mothers to come to the college campus and pray. And 300 mothers from Cambridge came and prayed, and not all of them had students in Cambridge, but he asked those mothers to come and to pray as if those men, and at that time, I guess just men were attending Cambridge because that's the way the story is related, but he asked those mothers to come and pray for those as if they were their own sons. And it said this, it said, mother after mother lifted their voice and cried out to God with streaming tears and fervent prayers. They asked God to come in power upon the young men of the university. And D.L. Moody said after that very night the tide turned. And over the following days, during that meeting, thousands of college students came to that meeting. Scores were converted unto the Lord. There were several influential college students that were saved, that were either saved or confirmed their call to the mission field during that meeting. In fact, there were seven key students that came out of that one revival meeting with D.L. Moody. They became known as the Cambridge Seven. Now, some of them I've heard of, some of them I have not, but one of the most famous ones was a student who became a missionary, and his name was C.T. Studd. And I've got a little book at home about the life of C.T. Studd and what a great missionary he was and how he went and he established a work, and I mean, God just done a marvelous work through C.T. Studd. And one thing about C.T. Studd, before that time period when he was there, he was one of the top cricket players in the country. I mean, this was like one of the best, if you might say, basketball players, baseball players. I mean, he was top prospect, and he was very well known because of his ability to play cricket, but he came to know the Lord. Instead of playing cricket, which is big in England, he became a missionary and went on to serve the Lord and did a marvelous work for the Lord. That came out of that meeting where those mothers prayed. And it said God accomplished more through these mothers' prayers than anyone could have hoped or imagined. And there was a multitude of college ministries that were birthed out of that one meeting. God did a marvelous work. And the difference was not the message the preacher had. It was not that a famous evangelist had come from America to preach. He wasn't doing any good by himself. It wasn't that Ira Sankey, the great song leader, was there leading the singing. What made the difference? Mothers came together and they prayed for those college students as if they were their own children, and that made the difference. And a marvelous work came out of that meeting. That is one example of heroes of prayer. And can you imagine the good impact that had on the college? Can you imagine the good impact that had on the community? Can you imagine the far-reaching impact that had around the world through the missionaries being called? And it wasn't even a missionary oriented meeting. That's the wonderful thing about that. And so many, many testimonies could be given. We used to go to the prisons, and we would try to minister to the prison. We used to go to the biggest one around here is Northeast, over in outside of Mountain City, Tennessee, and we had a weekly time. We would go over there, and we would go into the prison, and some of these men we got to know and to witness to. And it would amaze you how many of those prisoners whose life had been turned around. Okay, yes, they're in prison, and they messed up. But many of them would talk about, you know, I had a godly mama. My mom prayed for me. If it wasn't for my mom's prayers, I'd be dead. I, you know, and people would say, I'm thankful to be here. I know God answered my mother's prayers. People that have gone through very, very difficult times, soldiers who've gone to the field and fought and been in horrible situations have come back and said, you know, I know my mom was praying for me. I know that made the difference in my life, and would contribute their survival, their success, their spirituality to mother's prayers, just like those songs that I was talking about. A lot of people can look back over their lives and say, you know, I'm thankful I had a praying mama. What a difference that made. I think about in the Bible, I think about some of my favorite ladies we could talk about. One of my favorite is a lady named Hannah in the Bible. And the Bible says about her in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. It said, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, remember me, and give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And we see, if you know anything about Hannah, she was barren. She could not have children, but she had such a burden to have a son. And she went to the temple, and she prayed, and she asked that God would give her a man-child. And Eli, who was the high priest at the time, he saw Hannah praying. And he thought that she was drunk. That's what the Bible says. And he went to rebuke her about that. Thought she'd come down there, and he could see her lips moving, but he couldn't hear her voice. That's what the Bible says. And he was going to rebuke her over that. And he found out that she was just in great bitterness of soul. And she relayed to Eli, I'm here, and my heart's broken, and I'm praying for a son. Well, God gave her a son, and she named him Eli. I mean, she named him Samuel. And Samuel means ask of God. And I say this, if you really think about this, the nation of Israel was saved through a mother's prayers, because Eli and his sons, they were on the way out, and things were pretty dark in the nation of Israel. But little Hannah prayed for a son, and she said, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to the Lord. And that's exactly what she did. She took her child back to the temple and put him later on into the care of Eli. And Samuel grew up serving the Lord. And Samuel, and I talked about him as one of the heroes of prayer, but if you study about the life of Samuel, Samuel was not only the high priest, Samuel also was one of the judges. He was the main leader at that time, and he also became a prophet. And so he was a priest, he was a prophet, and he was a judge, one of the most unique individuals in the Bible. He anointed Saul, and he anointed King David to be the next king over Israel. Very influential. Israel was saved through the prayer of a mother. And I also think about in the New Testament, and our time will quickly get gone today, but the gospel door that was opened in the New Testament to Europe. Now, if you study about church history, what you find out is that the gospel started in Jerusalem, and the great movement that's lasted down through the centuries went west into Europe and then finally into America. And from America and Europe, the gospel has gone throughout all the world. In fact, we had a missionary last Wednesday night. Well, in fact, in our service, we had four missionaries in one service. But one was going to the Spanish-speaking. One was in the prison ministry. One is in college, ministering to college students. And the one that brought the message, he was going to Indonesia. That's all the way on the other side of the world, next to Australia. And so the gospel has literally went around the whole world from America and from England. But the door to Europe started in a place called Philippi, if you've read the book of Philippians. But it started through a women's prayer meeting. And if you read and study in Acts chapter number 13, you'll find that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was led to go to Macedonia. That's the doorway to Europe. And he came to a place called Philippi, where we get the book of Philippians. It was writing to the people at Philippi in Acts 16:13, said, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." And so when Paul the missionary went to Philippi, what did he find? He didn't find a church. He didn't find any converts, but he found a women's prayer meeting. And those women that were gathered together there, Paul spoke to them. And if you read the whole chapter, you'll find in Acts chapter number 16, there was a lady named Lydia, and whose heart the Lord opened. And she received the gospel in her house. And the church at Philippi was actually started in her house through her influence. You think about that. The first convert in Europe, what we know as Europe, was a lady. And what an influential person. And on and on and on we could go with examples like that. There's not enough time to tell of all the examples or to tell about how important ladies are in the operation of the church. I do know this for a fact. Many missionaries, when they go to the field, a lot of times they don't have men to work with. They have ladies that will come. They have children. You know, they'll evangelize the children and the mothers. And it seems like the men are the last ones to come and to get involved. So a lot of times they have ladies to work with. The ladies can't preach. The ladies maybe can't teach. But I'll tell you something the ladies can do. They can pray, and they do pray. I've got just a few minutes left. I want to share something with you from our own church, Mount Lebanon. And this Sunday, we're going to have our 125-year anniversary. We're going to have a special service on Sunday celebrating that. And we've got a little book that talks about the history of Mount Lebanon and going back over 125 years. And there's a section in there that talks about some of the ladies down through the years at Mount Lebanon. Now, I'm going to read some of this to you, but I've pastored... I pastor at Forest Grove. That's one of the oldest churches in the county. This could be any church in any county, in any state in America, and a lot of churches, a lot of other places. This same thing could be said about how important the ladies have been. And so they went years ago before the 100-year anniversary, and they asked some of the oldest members what their memories were. And I'm going to read a little bit about that. Life wasn't easy for these sisters, but worship was. The Holy Spirit would move upon them, and they would shout the praises of the Lord. One sister in particular is remembered by Sister Thelma Earp. Sister Sally Hodges would shout just about every service. She sure would get happy. Sister Delphia Harmon is also lovingly remembered as by most of the present congregation. She was one of the great spiritual women of Mount Lebanon. Gone are those days, but down through the years, the women of Mount Lebanon have been a great strength to the church. Their faith and prayers have touched the ears of God and brought healing to the sick, sons home from wars, and comfort to those who were hurting. Thank God for the women of Mount Lebanon. And I think that's a great sentence there. Their faith and prayers have touched the ears of God and brought healing to the sick, sons home from wars, and comfort to those who were hurting. And so today we give a tribute to the praying ladies that we've known and some that we've not known down through the years, those who have prayed. And we are in desperate need of a new generation of praying godly ladies, ladies of great faith. We could go on and on. We think about in the Bible, Sarah and Elizabeth, and Mary and Esther and Ruth and all these great ladies in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the Hall of Fame of Faith, the great people of faith. And it talks about verse number 33, who through faith, verse 35, women receive their dead raised to life again. And so we think about the great answers to prayer. Thank you for listening. Our time is quickly coming gone. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You're listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through Our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.